Did you want me to sit over there?
No, this is fine. We are going to call our meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Emergency Services Committee. Isn't it on? Is it?
Hello?
Okay. I'll call the meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Emergency Services Committee. It's a town hall meeting, meaning that it's sort of a workshop format. And we will be focusing on the fire tax proposal that we are bringing forward through the CSD. With that, our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll stand with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to have my committee and subcommittee and our CDF officials introduce themselves. And we've had a special request that people would like a teeny-weeny bit of bio background on us all. I'm Gordon Hensley. I am the vice chairman of the CSD board. I'm the chairman of the Emergency Services Committee. I have a master's degree in biology. I've been in business in Los Osos for approximately 20 years. I currently run a nonprofit environmental organization.
John Bryant, I'm a registered professional forester, a graduate of Humboldt State University. I also am retired from the United States Forest.
Good evening. My name is Phil Veneris. I am a battalion chief for CDF San Luis County Fire Department. I've been employed here for as that battalion chief for the last about 4 or 5 years, and I've been working in San Luis County Fire since the early 80s.
I'm Dan Turner. I'm the chief of CDF County Fire, and I'm pleased to be your fire chief in Los Osos. I'm very proud to be there and very happy to be here tonight talking about this issue. I am a been in the fire service for 34 years. Most of that's in San Luis Obispo County. I spent about 14 of those years elsewhere in the state. I came home to San Luis Obispo County in 1998 when I became the chief of CDF County Fire here in San Luis Obispo. Delighted to be here and hopefully have a good evening.
Jerry Walsh, I'm a 20-year resident of Los Osos and co-chair of Los Osos for Measure AO5. I formerly worked against the last fire tax as unnecessary, and this time I am working for this fire tax as long as our CDF is in place here, and I encourage everyone I know to help with this fire tax. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leon Golden. Background. I'm a lawyer. I'm a former vice president of the State Bar of California, which means I was on the Board of Governors of the State Bar of California. I now serve on the Finance Committee of the Los Osos Community Service District. I've been on that committee, I think, 3 years, and I may be paroled any day now. I also was on the special committee that Gordon appointed to get things organized to pass this tax.
Jerry Dietz, current assignment as treasurer of this august body. Hopefully we get enough money to do our thing, which I think we'll be able to do with minimum funds. Former background, about 40 years in military electronics, mostly in shipboard area for any submarine warfare and areas such as that. Resident of Los Osos for 16 years, also active in the Central Coast Veterans Military Memorial Museum in San Luis Obispo and also a small museum up at Camp San Luis Obispo.
Thank you. As you can see, I've been especially blessed with a committee that is extremely knowledgeable in emergency services, and our subcommittee has served us well in organizing the special fire tax and the educational opportunities that the CSD needs to make in order to move the special fire tax measure ahead. That measure is Measure 805, and it will be a mail-out ballot, and it will require a two-thirds vote of our community to pass. And the reason that we need this vote is that our special fire tax that we currently pay on our tax bill twice a year is insufficient to continue to support the level of service that we have been enjoying with our fire department. And in the transition with CDF, we were able to cut some of our costs and come back with a measure that is less than we had originally brought forward at the last attempt in the spring. This is approximately half of what we were asking for then. And we have been through some additional funds or funds that we weren't fully anticipating because of some work that the governor did. We have been able to maintain a staffing level that we will not be able to maintain for many months longer. We have an MOU with the CDF in order to keep that going, and the fire tax will be needed to continue to support that level of service. And with that, I'd like to introduce our CDF firefighters who are currently providing that service. Gentlemen, if you will stand. Thank you. And you can see that many of the faces are the same.
Those for yes on AO5. And Steve, by the way, was one of the prime opponents of Measure G. And I signed on as a member of the Finance Committee. In any case, no one has filed opposition to this. The time to file has passed. So hopefully we'll get everyone is going to get a ballot which will have our statement, which will be distributed, by the way, in a few minutes, our statement, and then there should be a statement on the ballot saying that no opposition was filed. In addition, I think you need to know that I'm informed by the Registrar of Voters that the ballots will be mailed out sometime between April 9th and 20th. And they must be returned by May 3rd. So the big push here will be after April 9, and we hope to be well organized to do that. We hope that those of you who are out in the audience will also give us some help in that regard. But more about that later.
And with that, do you have an additional presentation for us?
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Phil?
I think we have. We don't, but Phil does.
I just wanted to know if you had any more.
All right.
Stay away from that.
Good evening. The Emergency Services Committee and the Finance Committee have asked us to prepare a quick PowerPoint presentation to show what it is that we're looking at on Measure 805. So we wanted to present some information, some factual information on what it is that is being proposed and what it is we currently have and what we're looking at producing with Measure 805. So why is a special tax needed? In the past 25 years, the population of Los Osos has been increasing. We've gone up from about 10,000 people to about 14,500, about a 45% increase in residents here in Los Osos. During that same time period, the emergency responses from Station 15 from the old South Bay Fire Station has gone up from approximately 480 to about 1,000 last year. That is a 207% increase. So why are calls increasing? The population is starting to age. People are expecting more of their fire department for a variety of reasons, but with a 45% increase in population, we're seeing a 200% increase in the call volume. So we look at what it is that a South Bay Fire Department and CDF County Fire Station 15 have done over in the last year. What's currently going on? In 2004, we went to 1,003 calls out of that fire station. About 70% of those incidents were medical related. Over 700 calls were for medical aids and people needing assistance from an ambulance and from paramedics and emergency medical technicians. 74 times this last year in 2004, Station 15 and South Bay Fire Department responded to two medical aids at one time. That is two separate incidents simultaneously. And that draws down on our staff, obviously, because we're now responding to two different locations. It's about once every 5 days. In 2004, as well, they went to over 72 fires within the confines of the Los Osos CSD. So there is a lot of things going on right now with the station being pulled here and there. In the last several years, to compound some of the things that are going on, the National Fire Protection Association and Cal OSHA have come out with what we call the 2-in-2-out standard. What that requires is that before we enter a building that is on fire, without a life threat in there, we have to have 4 people outside. If we show up and there's a burning building and there's someone inside where a quick action by a firefighter can save a life, we can enter with less than 4 people. If everyone is outside, if you've evacuated the building's good, free of people, we cannot enter without 4. So we're looking for 4 people on scene ready to go prior to entering a building. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is, where is Station 15 getting its funding? Where is the money coming from to pay for your fire protection? Well, property taxes provide a good chunk of what it is we receive up there. Oftentimes, they had a third firefighter, full-time firefighter available, especially during the daytime. So this gave the South Bay Fire Department the ability to respond. Generally 4 people, sometimes 5. Generally, they had a couple medics on there, the vast majority of the time, and they're able to split their calls and run 2 simultaneous incidents at the same time. The combination of the property tax and the special fire tax were able to provide, as I said, a very good level of service. Initially, in the last several years, through the late 90s, as cost of living started to increase, as the cost of running a fire department started to increase, the South Bay Fire Department started to deficit spend to maintain that level of service. That was the level of service that the citizens of Los Osos had asked for and were expecting. So the LOCSD, the Board of Directors, looked at that and said, you know, how can we continue to provide fire protection and not deficit spend? So they came up with a couple different solutions. They looked at reducing the level of service. Could they get by with less firefighters on duty? Could they get by with less paramedics? Could they get by with less fire engines? You know, the answers they kept coming up with is no, we need what we had. So they looked at raising the revenues. That was Measure G. That was voted upon and actually had a majority of the vote here in Los Osos, but did not pass. It did not receive the 2/3. So then they looked at contracting for fire and emergency services. They looked at a couple of different cooperating agencies around to see what they could provide. Eventually, they settled on CDF. I shouldn't say settled on. Eventually, they talked to CDF County Fire, and we entered into a cooperative agreement. Doing that saved the citizens of Los Osos $250,000. The original document that CDF and the LOCSD signed provided a level of service based on the existing revenues. It provided for two firefighters, two full-time firefighters, and a reserve firefighter with at least one paramedic on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Simultaneous incidents were handled by calling back the reserve firefighters at the station, by assisting agencies, Morro Bay Fire Department, other CDF County fire stations from a surrounding area, and the San Luis Ambulance as they came in. It was a system that worked for a short period. Right after that, right after we signed the agreement, you, the citizens of Los Osos, and your two advisory committees came back and said, we want to amend this. We want to have four people on duty with the ability to do simultaneous calls. So they gave us an interim agreement, proposed at the CDF, which we signed and accepted with the LOCSD. This interim agreement that you've been hearing about provides for three full-time firefighters on duty every day with a reserve firefighter. That's four firefighters on duty. It provides for at least two paramedics on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they are available to the citizens. It allows for simultaneous or concurrent calls, where we have the ability, again, to split our crews and to run two separate incidents, two separate medical aids. But doing that, we are again using our revenues. We are deficit spending. So this interim agreement is a short-term agreement that will expire at the end of this fiscal year on June 30th. So they proposed, the LOCSD and their two advisory committees proposed a special fire tax. Measure 805 is what you're looking at. It will provide the two paramedics that the citizens have are looking for. It will allow the fire department to respond to two simultaneous medical calls at once, with paramedics responding to both calls. Paramedics responding to both calls will assist the folks needing that in getting them the advanced life support that they're looking for when that call goes down. Measure 805 will also allow us to have four firefighters so that when we respond to a structure fire, we can immediately enter the building without waiting for reserve firefighters or cooperating and assisting agencies from other jurisdictions and from other county fire stations. Measure 805 will add about $170,000 to the Station 15 budget. That's with the increase that we're looking for. It'll maintain the interim agreement of three firefighters and a reserve on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and allow us to respond to simultaneous calls. So the Finance Committee and Emergency Services Committee looked at what it is that this fire tax is going to mean to the citizens of Los Angeles. The proposed fire tax is roughly half of what Measure G was last go around, as Gordon was saying earlier. It is based on the 66 cents, so you can see the difference in what AO5 does. This slide shows what it is we're currently dealing with, what our property taxes and special taxes is bringing into the fire station, and other sources of revenue. And then below that is the proposed revenues, and you can see the difference on the special fire tax. Total increase of the budget, we're looking at 9.5%. So how is the budget spent currently up at Station 15? And so the statistics that we have now show the information for the last couple years that South Bay Fire Department was using. 80% of it went for personnel in that time period. Some new vehicles, 6%, and operating expenditures, about 14%. Now, again, as we enter into this contract and we're starting to look at our numbers, based on those percentages, remember that we're saving $250,000 with the contract with CDF. If Measure 805 does not pass, the interim agreement will expire, and CDF and the LCSD will revert back to the original contract, two full-time firefighters and a reserve firefighter, with at least one paramedic on duty every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With the reduced staffing, Station 15 will continue to send a paramedic to the very first call. If available and we have staffing, we will send a paramedic to the second call. But the contract requires one medic on, so we will at least have that. Oh, there it is. Let me go back for a second. All right. So if it does not pass, we'll go back to two full-time staff, a reserve, with at least one of them being a medic at all times. Station 15 will have to wait to enter structure fires unless there is a life threat that that we can immediately save to have four people on scene. And that this will be waiting for that fourth body from either a reserve staff or assisting agencies or other CDF fire stations. Response times will increase to simultaneous calls because we're only running one engine or one unit out of South Bay. Response times will increase, and I can't tell you how much because it's due to reserve callback. I could have reserves in the station and there is no delay, or I could have reserves that are having to drive in and get that. It's very difficult to tell. So when we're looking at simultaneous calls, at least one out of nine simultaneous call, at least one, let me say that again. In 2004, at least one out of nine calls were simultaneous, or about 7.3% of our calls. So, you know, at least every several days, we had simultaneous calls, one out of nine. So it does happen fairly frequently. If Measure 805 is approved by two-thirds of the vote, the interim will become permanent, and we will continue to keep the staffing that you are receiving right now. We will continue to split our on-duty staff and be able to respond to simultaneous medical calls. We will continue to allow firefighters to enter burning buildings without a life threat immediately, without waiting for assistance from our reserve firefighters or from other incidents or other departments. Excuse me. So we were asked to describe why paramedics are necessary. Not all firefighters are paramedics. It's a common misconception. Paramedics require additional training and have additional skills. So while all firefighters are trained in emergency medicine, not all firefighters are paramedics. Paramedics are licensed by the state and San Luis County to provide both basic and advanced life support in the field. EMTs are certified by the county to provide basic life support. So what is basic life support and advanced life support? Well, paramedics are trained to initiate life-saving procedures that dramatically increase survivability in the pre-hospital setting through use of specialized equipment and specialized medicines. EMTs are trained to initiate basic steps intended to stabilize a patient or stabilize a victim, waiting until we can get them to a hospital or get them to advanced life support. So it is important, as you can see, that paramedics do provide that extra little step. So there's some things the Emergency Services Committee would like you to remember. AO5 needs a two-thirds vote. We received, I believe, about 51% for Measure G. It was a majority vote, but it was not the two-thirds, so that is important to remember.
The morning was kind of an interesting day because it illustrates exactly what we're talking about. A couple of events occurred that, and we didn't do these, by the way, I have to tell you that. Early in the morning, Tuesday morning, had a structure fire here in town, and the engine companies from Station 15 responded. There were four on duty. So they were able to make immediate entrance to that structure fire. They were able to knock the fire down very quickly. They did an outstanding job. Later that same morning, around 7 o'clock, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, the station was dispatched to a medical aid, emergency medical aid near the golf course in the Monarch area. Just as they were leaving the station, they got dispatched to a second medical aid in Baywood Park. So the two resources were able to split apart. One went immediately to Baywood Park. The other one went to the golf course area. Within a 12-hour time period, three examples of exactly what we're talking about the level of service difference of what the interim agreement provides for versus what the original level of service that you contracted with us for. We are here to deliver the level of service that you want. That's our job. We're happy to deliver whichever level of service you want. We just want to make sure you understand what they are and the significant differences. I have a video I'm going to play for you in just a minute that's we prepared here several years ago to illustrate to the County Board of Supervisors the difference in time related to firefighters responding to a structure fire. So what you're going to see is a video that once it starts, the screen will literally be split into four pieces. And so you'll see four simultaneous videos running. And what it will be is an engine company is doing what we call a structure fire evolution. The fire engine will pull up in front of a fire hydrant. They'll lay a hose line, supply line from the fire hydrant to in front of a building that is that they're going to make a fire attack on. They'll stretch an attack line to the front door of that building. They'll don breathing apparatus, which are required, and they'll charge those hose lines. And what you'll be looking for as we go through this is when they're flowing water out of the end of that hose line and there are two firefighters at that nozzle, only then can they make entry into that burning building. They cannot enter until those two firefighters are there and there are two firefighters outside. That rule is, we know in the fire service, is that we tend to run into burning buildings when people are running out. So when we put firefighters into that burning building, we know that nobody else is going to go rescue them if they get into trouble. So that's the reason for the two outside, is they're there to rescue the entry team should they get into trouble. And that's the two in, two out rule. So as we go through this video, it'll start off with a little bit of Sesame Street kind of a routine. We'll see if you can count backwards. You'll see what I mean when we get there. And then you'll see a video screen split into four, and there'll be a clock running in the center of it. And these four fire engines will start simultaneously, and they'll start going through this very same evolution. One of the fire engines will have four people on it. One will have three, two, and one. And the things will initially start identically, but you'll see that they'll trail off different. Now, four persons on the engine, they have enough personnel right there to make entry in the time that you'll see posted up there. Three persons on the engine means they have to wait for somebody else to arrive. That means another responding engine or a reserve callback coming back to allow for that fourth person to arrive. With two, they have to wait for two more to arrive. With one, they have to wait for one. So that's what you're about to view, if I can get the technology right here. Tim Wilcox helped me on this one, so I'm going to give this a go. This will be the Sesame Street segment. There's no sound on this, so if you're waiting for the sound to come along, it's just going to be me. Again, the fire engine is going to pull up to a fire hydrant here. They're going to stop at the hydrant. Firefighter's going to get off and catch the hydrant, as we call it. So the fire engine can then go forward and lay a supply line to get water from the fire hydrant to the fire engine. So the engine's pulling forward, it's laying a supply line to the fire. The firefighters that are back at the hydrant are going to connect to the hydrant and then come forward to join the engine company. The one in the lower right-hand corner with one, he's driving the fire engine, so there's nobody back at the hydrant. That'll become evident here real quick. Time they started. The lower right, the guy's walking back to charge the hydrant now. Okay, in the upper right, you're going to see water flowing. How many firefighters are there? This is the Sesame Street part again. It's one firefighter. Cannot make entry. It's 2 minutes and 14 seconds. They're ready to go, but they can't make entry. They have to wait for another firefighter to arrive before they can enter that building. What this illustrates is there's certain tasks that have to be done to prepare to make entry to a structure fire. And whether you have four people doing it, three, two, or one, the same tasks have to be accomplished. And they all have to be done before you can make that entry. Obviously, when you have four, you can do it a heck of a lot faster than you can do it with three, two, or one. Okay, the folks down here in the lower left number two quadrant are going to be ready here in just a second or two. Tack line's charging. I'm going to bleed the air out of the nozzle here in just a second. Check their pattern. Okay, they're ready to go. Still, there's only two firefighters here total. So they got to wait for two more firefighters to arrive, either from an additional engine company responding, reserves called back to come in to staff another engine, or an engine responding from another station, either Morro Bay or a county station responding. Okay, so now in the lower right-hand corner, we have the single firefighter. If any of you need to go out and get a cigarette or something, we'll be doing this for just a bit. It's the same tasks that have to be accomplished. They just have to be done in a completely different manner because they have to be done in a very specific order. He can't charge that hydrant until that hose is connected to the fire engine and there's a hose clamp out there. So he's going to make a couple trips back and forth to the hydrant here. He's advancing the attack line. Running the pressure up on the pump, charging that line. Now he's going to release the hose clamp that he put in place before he charged the hydrant to allow water to flow to the pump. Hopefully, during reality of this, there are reserve firefighters responding from home or their business or wherever they happen to be. They're going to join this individual here, so it doesn't have to wait for 5 minutes, 44 seconds, or longer, as it will turn out to be, before somebody gets here to help them. However, I will say I've worked on engine companies in my career with one person, and I have, in fact, made entry into structure fires by myself, and it's not a very fun feeling. I was much younger and not so wise. He has his breathing apparatus on. He's getting ready to put the face mask on. I'm going to pull a shroud up over his head here in just a minute, a Nomex shroud, after he gets his face mask tightened down, and he's going to check it for a seal, make sure he's got a tight fit. There's a shroud that goes over his head to protect his neck. Put his helmet on. Connect the air mask face piece to the air breathing apparatus. Going to drop his glove. Same thing, he's going to bleed the air off of the hose line. What we're dealing with is time. Time is our biggest enemy. Firefighters, time is their biggest enemy. Because somebody that's injured, somebody that has stopped breathing, somebody that's home that's on fire, time is the enemy we're dealing with the most. Once we arrive and we can start taking action, we can deal with the problem. But it's the time between when we find out about it and the time that we arrive and are able to start taking action is our biggest obstacle that we're working with. So hopefully that was entertaining. Hopefully you learned how to count backwards and how time works. So with that, I'm going to stop talking and turn it back over to Gordon.
With that, we are open to questions, and the committee, subcommittee, and the CDF will be helping us to answer these questions. Yes, sir.
I have a question, Chief. Do you always hook up to the pumper, or are you cognizant of what the street pressure is before you do? Because we got about 70 pounds in some areas around here, which should be enough to handle most of these small structures.
Well, the purpose of doing what they did there was to tie into the hydrant was to develop a constant supply of water. There's about 500 gallons of water on the in the tank on the fire engine, but that lasts only a couple of minutes. So they attach to the hydrant to make sure they have a constant supply of water, and then the pump on the fire engine boosts that pressure. And they typically operate those nozzles at about 100 pounds pressure. So the pump pressure coming out is about 100 to 150 pounds of pressure for those fire hose nozzles to operate properly.
Additional questions? Come to the microphone and...
Chuck Cribbs, Los Osos. I don't... I'd like to make a statement, and I do have a question, but a statement is that for a variety of reasons I was an opponent to Measure G. And as we've watched the transition of CDF into our community, and I want to be adamant about the fact that I'm now very much a supporter of this new fire tax. The main reason for my support of this new tax is I want to make sure that we maintain our ability to service two medical emergencies, particularly in our community, at the same time. Actually, there's a gentleman in this room that kind of said it all when he says, I would hate to be the second call on a medical emergency. So, in my opinion, we are now talking about a minimum service level that we should maintain in our society, and we need to pass this tax. I'm generally against all taxes. This one, though, is one of those that I think that we get our money's worth is necessary for our community. And I forgot my question, so thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Anyone else?
My name is Tori Lepp, resident of Los Osos and also reserve of Firefighter Station 15. One question that came up, and a lot of people stated that the last fire tax, Measure G, the purpose of it was to purchase more equipment and to purchase more engines, equipment, gear, which wasn't the fact. Wondering if this tax is only for personnel or if it is to purchase more equipment, so the public can understand where the money is going.
Thanks for the question. The cost for the personnel to provide this interim level of service is about $250,000 a year. The tax, if it's successful, will raise about $170,000 a year. So all of the extra tax will go toward providing that service level for that higher level of service, to have that second paramedic on duty and that fourth firefighter on duty. It'll actually generate a little bit less than the cost of doing that. And by the calculations is with the Proposition 1A passing and some of the return of local government revenues in a year or two, the property taxes will catch up and close the gap of the $250,000 to $170,000. So we'll be back in a positive cash flow in about 2 years. The question about equipment, though, is one of the things that I know in fire department budgeting is prudent is to set aside money into a depreciation account, if you will, to replace equipment. And our budget has that built into it as a fund to set money aside in a special fund so that when a fire engine comes due for replacement, there'll be money there to do that. And that's a designated fund for that. What's really important is we've done everything we can for the community.
Half of what the other one was. In total dollar amount, it is. It would have been $125 on your tax bill if the last one had passed. This one will be $67.60. But in total dollars, the last tax would have brought $525,000 approximately to the district. This one will bring $170,000. And that's less than a third of what the previous tax was. And I know the firefighters were introduced earlier by standing up, but after watching that video, I mean, these are the heroes in our community. I would like it if maybe Phil, if they don't object, if they would just come up and introduce themselves just by name or whatever, let the community see them again. They're there to protect us. We should pass this tax to protect them.
I think I'd like to do that after the questions. Additional questions? I'm sorry. I don't have the ballot measure in front of me. That's right, Phil. You can take care of it. All right. And the section is, without my glasses, that Richard was discussing. I'm okay. Here it is. Section 5, special tax amount. Subsequent to the end of each fiscal year, but prior to August 10th of the ensuing fiscal year, the Board of Directors, that's the CSD Board, on the regular agenda, at a public meeting, after considering public input, shall determine the precise amount of the special tax to be levied during the ensuing fiscal year, provided that such special tax will not exceed the maximum amount set forth in Section 6 below. And that maximum amount is $13.52 per unit of benefit, adjusted each year as I just spoke to. Yeah?
Gordon?
Yes.
You really also should address Section 4, which indicates that the action in 5 takes place after there has been a careful audit of what happened the year before. And I think that's a very important aspect in this ordinance.
Are you asking me to read that section too?
Well, if yes, I think,
section,
since you don't have
section,
your glasses.
That's Section 4. There are several sections of the. This will all arrive in your ballot, in your tax packet with you, at your home. This is Section 4, the special tax report. The district's chief financial officer shall file an annual report with the district board of directors no later than January 1 of the year following the election, and at least once a year thereafter, containing both of the following: A, the amount of the funds collected and expended, and B, the status of any projects or services authorized to be funded as identified in Section 2 of the ordinance. And Section 2 is the purposes of the special tax.
So it's going to be carefully watched.
Yes. The ordinance is clear on how the money is to be spent, how it will be accounted for, and how it's going to be watched over. Additional questions?
Phil, would you maybe like to use this time to promote the open house in April? That might be a good...
One of the goals we set early on was to provide to the citizens of Los Osos an example and to show them what it is that we're providing to them as their fire department under contract. So on April 4th, we will have an open house up at Station 15, April 9th, there, I'm getting lots of nods. Yeah. April 9th. April 9th is a Saturday from 11 to 2 o'clock. We anticipate having many fire engines from throughout the county. We will have a live fire simulator so that you'll be able to see a fire engine pull up to a burning building with real fire, real smoke, real everything. Firefighters jump out using their good two in, two out, and make a fire attack on this. We will have some cooperating agencies from the Sheriff's Department, the California Highway Patrol, and the San Luis Ambulance. We will have a fire safety house to show young children how to act in a burning building if the smoke alarms are going off, and what is a good fire escape and what is not. We will have a barbecue.
I've been too perfect recently, and that's probably an understatement. That would be a good idea for those folks who are going to watch this tape when it's played, that if you don't get your ballot by about the 15th of April, you better be on the phone with the election department down in San Luis Obispo asking them to please send you out another ballot. And it also would be a good idea if you're kind of forgetful, a lot of people are, and you discover that it's May 2nd, that you get in your car and drive it over there and hand it to them in person. Because if you mail it on the 2nd, it may not get there in time.
That's a good point. There is nothing, while we call it a mail ballot, there would be nothing that would prevent you from hand-carrying it into the clerk's office and delivering it in person. It's not required to go through the mail. I believe also if you walked in and could establish who you were, some kind of photo ID, the clerk will let you vote right there at their counter if you so choose. And the clerk's office is on Monterey Street in San Luis Obispo, right off of Santa Rosa.
Gordon, we've had questions about who can vote, and some people think that only if they're a property owner. We'd like everyone to know that they can vote if they're registered to vote, whether they own a property or rent. And also, I'd like to read something right out of the paper. It's just a sample of what the people in Los Osos think about the firefighters here and have for many years, these same men that are now on CDF. Praise for firefolk paramedics. My husband recently had a sudden illness necessitating a call to 911. Our paramedics and fire people came promptly and rendered aid. I want to thank all of them for their efficiency, thoughtfulness, and their kindness. I can't sing their praises high enough. We are lucky to have them in Los Osos. Thank you again. You are a great group, Mr. and Mrs. B. Kedrobe. And that's just a sample of everything I hear in Los Osos about our firefighters. Thank you.
And if there's no additional committee, no, yes, there is.
Yes, sir. Just a word on the Los Osos for yes on A5. We are a committee in formation at this moment. Jerry is one of our co-chairs, but I wanted to read for those folks who are maybe watching this the address that we've got an address. It's Post Office Box 6632. Los Osos, California, 93412-6632. Once more, that's P.O. Box 6632, Los Osos, California, 93412-6632. And we will hopefully have more information out in short time. But contact us if you want to help. And I'm sure that there are people who couldn't come to this meeting this evening who will want to come in and help. And that's where we can be contacted.
And Leon, one more time, that committee is a pro vote committee, right, separate from this committee. However, once again, give us the name of that committee.
Go ahead.
Los Osos for A05.
Yes.
That's yes on A05. It's Measure A05 is the year. And I'd like to stress that, again, we are the grassroots committee who are putting this together. And it's a coming together of all of the people of Los Osos, no matter what political side they're on. This is a coming together. All sides agree on the issue at this time. We haven't heard anyone, at least yet, who does not like the idea of this fire tax or has said anything about not voting for this. So we hope that will continue. Thank you.
Additional committee comment? Okay. With that, Chief Vanaris, would you introduce our firefighters?
Tell you how it is to be an end user of 911, and so sometimes it's hard for us to imagine what it would be like. And just tonight I'm reflecting, what if I needed 911, and what kind of staffing levels would I want responding to my emergency? So I'm encouraging people to vote. Search your soul. Think about what you'd really want at that time of need.
My name is Sean Haydet. I work here at Station 15, South Bay. And that's about it. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Chad Britton. I'm a fire captain for CDF San Luis Obispo County at Station 11, Cayucas. And we come in all the time to help the community of Los Osos, and just glad to be here and offer our support.
Hello, my name is Roger Wesney. I work at Station 12. I'm currently a firefighter 1.
And Station 12 is our fire station in San Luis Obispo.
Hi, I'm Fred Haberkern, captain paramedic, and it's been my honor and my pleasure to work in Los Osos for the last 18 years. So, vote yes.
Firefighter Tori Lepp, resident of Los Osos for 20 years, and also with South Bay Fire and now Station 15 for almost 2 years now.
Hello, my name is Joel Platter, and I'm a reserve firefighter for Los Osos. And I was born and raised here in the community, so I'm 22 now, so.
The important things about the reserve firefighters is these are your community members who are giving of their time. They're coming in and working. They're not professional full-time firefighters like the rest of us. These are community members that wanted, maybe looking for a career in the fire service out in the future, but they're looking at helping right now, and they deserve a lot of respect. So thanks, Joel.
Jim Thomas. I'm an apparatus engineer here at South Bay.
Good evening. My name is Steve Reeder, and I'm a fire captain at Station 12, which is the headquarters station over in San Luis.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's other things that members of the community can do to help in this besides vote, and having Joel stand up and Tori are both prime examples of the Reserve Firefighter Program. In fact, Joel is the contact for Reserve Firefighter applicants for Station 15, and we have an open period coming open for folks that might want to apply and be just like Joel. and become a reserve firefighter at Station 15, and that application period is March 3rd. And Joel will be happy to walk you through that process if you're interested. He knows all there is about it. So if anybody wants to call the fire station to become a reserve firefighter, Joel sets a great example, and we're proud of who they are and what they do for the community.
Thank you. With that, that brings us to the end of our meeting. And gentlemen, I do thank you for all that you do for us, protecting our community. And to add on to what the chief just said, while all of the crew that's here this evening is male, they do take female employees also. So keep that in mind. Thank you all for turning out. We hope to have a successful ballot measure. We think this is a good thing for the community. Thank you.